Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to this edition of the Cave Show. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us on this today. We have a lot of good stuff to get into today. I do apologize in advance. Today's show will be a little abbreviated as I'm on assignment. So we're going to go strong to 1:30 today. Last play football coming up. Do you have any expectations? We'll talk about that. Kobe and Shaq, they just can't help themselves. We'll talk about that a little bit. U.S. Open is great. Why can't Stevens win anymore? Might briefly get into that just a little bit. We'll do all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining me today on this hump day. We are brought to you by the one and only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Getting there, let them know PLR sent you. They will take care of you 10% off of your cigar purchase. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. You become a club member. Get a locker that bags directly up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. And if you haven't had your fantasy football draft, that is a place to go to. Trust me. Had one there myself the other day. It was absolutely a fun time. So get in there again. Let them know PLR sent you. They will take care of you. Thank you for joining me today. You heard some of the topics. Call-in number is 917-889-7828. I did forget to say in the intro, we do have Tony Capriano, Cuban Cowboy, giving a call in at about 10 minutes after the hour. I do want to squeeze in as many calls as possible before that. Do have a call on hold. Thank you. You are on the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul. It's Lou.
Lou, what up, buddy? Hey, Lou. I'm glad you called today. Yesterday you said, hey, I'm out of time. There was something I wanted to ask you, and you had to run. And I wanted to know if you remember that, so I would remember to lead off with that with you today.
Okay. You wanted to leave me off with something?
No, you asked a question. You said I'll ask you tomorrow, and I didn't want you to forget it, so I wanted to lead off with the question if you didn't get a chance to ask.
I think I kind of forgot now. But anyway. Well, like you said, we have the final week of the preseason tomorrow, and this is going to be the final cut down to 53. Wonder who's going to get it.
It's time for play football to stop. I mean, I'm not even going to waste my time, to be honest with you. I'm working the ASU football game tomorrow, so I'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll be all into what's going on with college football on Saturday. I don't have time to watch play football. I really don't. No one is playing.
Well, it's down to the last 53 players.
Yeah, but no one's playing. I mean, you, Lou, I know you love football. I want you to tell me who's vying for that last special team spot with the Dallas Cowboys. And we don't know.
Yep.
That's who's making a team.
I think the Cowboys have more important things to worry about, like when is the contract going to be signed?
Exactly. Exactly.
Although Jerry Jones says, I'm not worried about it past September 8th. It might be a plus.
I'm sure he's not. It's all negotiating at this point. Neither one of them are going to tip their hand. But if I were a betting man, I'd still bet that game one, Zeke will be playing football. In all honesty, he has no leverage. They're offering him to make him the second highest paid running back. He has 2 years left
right.
on his deal. If he sits out this year, which is what Le'Veon Bell did, Le'Veon Bell was at the end of his contract. He was just refusing to sign for the franchise tag. They could still,
right.
if he sits out, he doesn't gain any equity this year. He still has 2 years left on his contract and still has two
yes.
years left that they can franchise tag him. He better take this money and go about his business.
If he knows what's good for him, yes.
Yeah, I'm usually always on the player side. Dude, they're about to make you the second highest paid running back in the NFL. Take your money, man. With 2 years left on your deal, take your money.
Yeah. And here's a question for you. How do you think Carrie Lloyd would do as a kicker in the NFL?
I think she would do magnificently. She just has to get her steps down to 3 instead of 5.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing against, you know, a female kicker, but when you consider that, you know, she's, you know, up there in age as athletes are concerned, would it be a wise move? Because by this time next year, she'll be 38 years old. That's kind of old to become a rookie in the NFL, even if you're a kicker.
Adam Vinatieri is 45, 46 years old. He's kicking a football. When was the last time you seen him make a tackle?
No, but still, he's not a rookie. You know, he's been there for God knows how long. I mean, you know, Carly's starting out at 30 as a rookie. That's a little late, don't you think?
No, if she's a running back, yes. As a kicker, no. And I don't think she would be the person that would get the kick. I think it would be someone that's younger and that would want to do it full time. I don't want a kicker in the NFL that's just a woman for the sake of putting a woman in the NFL. I want a kicker in the NFL that can kick the ball. If it's a woman, it's a woman. If it's a guy, it's a guy. I just want someone that can do the job.
And if it's a robot, it's a robot.
I just do the job. Because it's not like we're having to worry about physical size, because kickers don't do anything. Kickers don't tackle. How many times have you seen a kicker on a kickoff return? They got one person to beat, and that's the kicker. And he's running like a 9-second 40, and you're like, he has no chance.
Yeah. I think I get it, but, you know, I'm just, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, it's great that what Carly's done and everything, and, you know, she wants to broaden her horizons. I just think maybe she would 10 years earlier, it might have made more sense.
Hell, I take her over the kicker the Bears had last year, Mr. Doubleday.
Oh, yeah, well. That's a different story altogether.
Yeah, I would have taken her. Mr. Double Doink.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I have no issue with Carly Lloyd. I have no issue with any – look, if you can play the sport, play the sport. I don't care. It's like with Becky Hammond. People are like,
oh, yeah.
I interviewed Becky Hammond. She knows the game of basketball. That's all that's needed. See, to be honest with you, that's all that's needed.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with Becky Hammond. Well, speaking of WNBA, well, I know we don't cover much of the Big Three, but Lisa Leslie earned Coach of the Year in that league.
Yeah, you know what's funny, Lou? The Big Three, like the first year it came out, I watched a little bit of it. This year, I didn't watch one game.
Well, I'm not surprised. Well, it's like I told you before, though, like, the Big Three, no one's going to do this seriously. It's a bunch of has-been NBA players who just want one last shot at playing. I didn't think people were going to be going to get a lot of interest out of that. I really didn't think so.
Yeah, the league is doing well. I mean, the Olympics are going to put 3-on-3 in the Olympics coming up. So I have nothing against the league. I just, you know, Lou, honestly, I think I only have so many hours in a day. And I'm doing baseball, and then now football starting, and basketball ran long. I only have so many hours, but I mean, last year I watched a couple games, and it was entertaining, and it was good to see some of those old names, and it's amazing the shape that they keep their bodies in to still be able to do that.
Well, you have to if you're going to play.
Yeah, if I went out there, I pull a hammy, and I'm sorry I yelled, oh, no, but in the overhead here, we have the Venus Williams-Svitolina match going on, and they're Svitlina was battling to end this thing, and Venus, who we all know is 40, was battling to stay in this, and they had been at deuce probably about 10 times, and Venus Williams had a chance to end this, and she stumbled going for a smash,
oh.
And I apologize for everyone, but she righted the ship, and she still got the smash, and it's 5-4, so I do apologize for that, but the TV is overhead, and
no.
I looked up at the time she did it, so, but yeah.
No, I get it.
Luke, shoot me what else you got. I got Tony calling in.
Oh, okay. On that note, I'll end it. I'll try to get back to you tomorrow. If not, then have a good Labor Day weekend. And I'm on Saturday
you
night, 6 to 8 Eastern Time.
And there is no show on Monday.
I figured that.
Well, it's a best of. I shouldn't say no show. It's a best of show.
Well, we'll speak to you after the holiday weekend then.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself.
All right, Paul. Thanks.
Good friend of the program, Lou. Always good to catch up with him. On the line right now, the one, the only Cuban Cowboy, and he will be live as soon as we take care of a little bit of business.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
I'm the Kerry Lackey online right now, the one only Cuban Cowboy, coming from a broom closet near you in Miami. Tony Capriano. Tony, what up, buddy?
I'm actually calling from a suite at Marlins Park, which is like a closet, but elevated.
So I have a question for you. And if it's going to get you in trouble, don't answer it. But are there more people in the dugout and in the suite than are actually sitting in the stands?
Well, currently, yes, because we're batting practice right now. But I've been here for like the last two games. The Cincinnati Reds are the only team in baseball to come to Miami and bring down the attendance. And I don't know if it's because usually when teams would come down here, there'd be a lot of fans of the other teams come to see their team, so they would cheer whenever like they score a home run off our Miami pitchers. But no one cares for the Reds either. I just learned that. So now we see how many Marlins fans we really have. When school's back in session. Painful. It's painful. It's getting worse from here. Especially with the pitchers reaching their limits. We got no one to bring up because they also reach their limits. I don't know if they're going to win 8 games by the end of the year.
Nobody.
Good. You didn't hear me at all?
Are you there? Okay, I can hear you. We had some issues. I'm glad you stuck with us. Sorry about that. You were saying Cincinnati are the only people, and then we had switchboard problems. So I apologize. Please pick up from where you left off.
I said they're the only team in baseball to come here and bring down attendance. And usually we've had a lot of teams come here, and attendance would pick up a bit because a lot of fans of the other team would show up. But I just discovered that no one cares about the Reds either. Now we get to see how many real fans we have when school is back in session.
Okay, so I've got to ask you this question. I saw some news, I saw some noise about Jadeveon Clowney, and the Dolphins are talking about possibly trading for him. Any truth to that?
As of now, I mean, they're active on it, and they have the pieces to make it work because there's got veterans on the team that Houston could use, and the Dolphins, if they're gonna go tank, then there's a lot of guys that don't really necessarily need that will just be a burden on their cap. So instead of say guys like Kiko Alonso or Kenny Stills or Kenny Drake, instead of cutting them to save cap money, they could trade them and get a really good pass rusher which is something they need. They got elite tackle, and they'll need elite pass rusher. They got an elite corner, and then once they get their draft pick, they'll have an elite quarterback, hopefully. That's the blueprint they're going with.
So do they have that much faith in Kalen Ballage to hand him the job? Because we know they definitely need a a running back in Houston now.
Yeah, it's been pretty much close between the two. And Kenyon Drake has shown some splashes. It has been pretty good. But he's never been the feature back. He was always behind somebody since he's been drafted by the Dolphins. So, I mean, I got him in our fantasy team. I don't know what to do with him. But I think they trust in Kalen Ballage to be a leading runner. And if not, they can always just, like, throw in a bunch of, like, other guys to go with him. Like, I've seen some impressive runs from Patrick Laird, who is a rookie from California. He was a team in rushing in both the preseason games. And I know that's the backups have to come into play. But the Dolphins don't have a necessarily good offensive line, no matter which order the depth chart they're in. So if you could do well, if you could run on this team with that offensive line, then you had a chance to be good.
I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco. Tony, we know that this last preseason game is really just a game for the sake of playing a game for most of us fans, most of us that even cover the sport. Is there any position that are up for grabs for Miami that this fourth game you think will determine known positions, or do you expect a major cut after game four? Do you have anything that will make people want to watch game four of the preseason because something might happen with someone or someone might come up and make a team that no one was expecting to?
I was going to originally say quarterback because you were asking about that after last week, and it's still something that he's deciding upon because Rosen has started to play a lot better than before. But Ryan Fitzpatrick is not going to play this week because of an illness. So you're going to see Josh Rosen and Jake Rudock, who is a third-string quarterback who's most likely to get cut unless they choose to keep three quarterbacks. So I guess if Rosen would do really well in this game, then that might tip the scales and it might just go with him over Fitzpatrick. I would look at some of the veterans, see how they perform. Most of them didn't play last week. Most of it had to do with injuries, but most of them seem healthy now. So see if those guys look like potential cuts. Other than that, I don't know where else you can look at in terms of position battle. So you still have two long snappers. One is incredibly old and they've had forever, and one is a rookie. So I don't know what's going to happen at this point, but unless a big run is made, I guess most of their minds are made up.
So I've heard some rumblings that Kenny Stills may be let go. Do you believe that to be so, or do you think Kenny Stills makes this team?
If it's so, it's mostly because of money. It's because of the cap hit that he has. And he hasn't necessarily been number one. He's not like a top fantasy wide receiver. Like, he hasn't been able to produce those numbers. He's been a great leader on the team, and he's been able to produce like some great touchdown runs in the past. Like, being able to catch deep balls. Back when they were a playoff team, he was definitely the go-to guy for deep passes. But I don't think he's gotten worse over time. But if they want to shed some more cap space for next year, that'd be a place to go. Especially if you don't really think you're gonna. You're building for this year. But I don't think it has anything to do with I don't think social issues would be the cause to cut them. It might be a reason to keep them because all the things that Steve Ross is getting recognized for, like I think you recently just got like an award from somewhere, something about leadership. The player that's in the forefront of his project was Kenny Stills. And I don't think that to cut him for that, for disagreeing with his contributions to our president, I don't think that's going to be a reason to cut him.
Okay, so I've given up on this a while ago, honestly, and his name keeps popping up. And just you can give me a long answer if you want, or you can give me a yes-no answer. My answer is no. I don't think Kaepernick's ever playing in the NFL again. Do you think he will ever make it on an NFL roster again?
At this point, I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't know
who's gonna. I don't know who's gonna want to go that route, because he's so far removed from the last game he's played, and this the symbol that he is in terms of like the protest and the social revolution that they're trying to create from this, that's never gonna go away. So you're never gonna bring him in as a quarterback. You're gonna bring him in as almost as a symbol. And then whatever comes from that, however leadership deals with that, however we as media members respond to that by asking questions about it, just to be a backup, I don't think it's going to happen. Like, by the time a team has to be bad enough to want to give this guy a shot to be a starter. But by that time, they're reserved to their fate and will rather be in position to draft the next great quarterback. I don't know where he goes from here. I think it's over.
Yeah, you and me, excuse me, you and me both on that one. I think if he wasn't back in by last year, that was it. Because I don't see a team, and this isn't knocking him or anything by any stretch, but I don't see a team wanting to have football distractions, because in football, anything anybody don't like, they call it a distraction. But I don't see them wanting to have any type of a perceived distraction on their end for a backup quarterback. And I don't see any team ready to hand over the reins to him. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think he's played his last game in the NFL. His last game, I believe, was his last game. Here's what I find amazing, though. You still have Kenny Stills and you still have Eric Reed kneeling. I would be interested in knowing – if Kaepernick came back, would he have to kneel? Just because, how do you not, if you're still doing it and you're still their guy and they're still supporting you via social media, via words out of their mouth every time they're interviewed, you would almost, if someone asked him if he would kneel, he would almost have to, just out of the fact that these guys are still doing it and saying that they're with you and you're still sending text messages saying I'm with you as well. And I think that would be one of the things for sure that would keep him out, to be honest with you.
One question I would have is it right that we're drawing a line in the sand when it comes to kneeling or not kneeling? Because kneeling has been that is a more respective version to protest. That's how it came to be. But if you stand like you're supposed to during the national anthem, does that mean you no longer support the protest that's taking place? We've had this conversation before with Flores after the game against Jacksonville, because the controversy was being made when Jay-Z was brought in, made a deal with the NFL, and then Kenny Stills criticized that, and then 8 straight Jay-Z songs appeared during practice, and then we brought that up, and Flores said he supports the protest that's taking place because it's his story. It's something of Honduran immigrants, a black man from New York who had to deal with stop and frisk. And he says he supports it, but he also stands. And they asked him, why do you stand during national anthem then if you support the protest? They said he thinks that standing is important to stand during national anthem. So are we going to have this line of drawing the sand where if you support those who are protesting police brutality, then you got to kneel during the national anthem. And if you stand, then your support is meaningless. I don't think that's going to be productive.
And I agree with you. I think there's different ways to get to the same thing. You know, I think back, and this is the last thing on this topic I'll say, I'll think back to the 60s where you had MLK and you had Malcolm X. Different. And Gandhi, they had different methods of doing things, but the end goal was that everyone everyone will be treated equally. But on the line with us right now, the one, the only Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy. Tony, Miami played Florida last Saturday. I thought that was a very winnable game for them. As I said before the game played, I said I thought this game was more important to Miami than it was to Florida, because if Florida lost that game, they could fall back on their SEC myth that it's the best conference known to man ever since Jesus walked on earth. And as long as they beat Georgia and won the SEC title game, they could play themselves into the playoffs. Miami played in the ACC, even if they were to find a way to miraculously beat Clemson, I think they're looking at the Gator Bowl or the Blue Bonnet Bowl or something like that, but can still be a successful season. What, in your mind, would this team have to do to play themselves back into the playoffs?
Win their conference? I mean, anytime you lose to an SEC team, you get a mulligan for that, I would assume, especially when it's like so early in the season. So early, it's not even considered week one. It was week zero. Like, every team had to put in some new talent there. So I could see them, like, running through the schedule and then beating Clemson if possible. I don't know if that's going to happen, but if they were to pull that off, run the table the rest of the way, they could easily make it the playoffs. The ACC has built up enough capital with the help of Clemson and Florida State to really make that happen. Not Florida State currently, but, like, when they beat Auburn in 2013 and then Clemson became the top team, they're probably the second-best conference right now. So if Miami were to run the table after losing to Florida, and that's the only loss they've had, they could definitely make the playoffs from that.
Okay. Michael Irvin still has it, man. That dude's an incredible shape.
He's the best hype man.
Oh, that was great. And before I let you go, I've got to ask you, you lost to Hawaii, man. Y'all flew over all that water, lined up, and let the Rainbow Warriors beat you in heartbreaking fashion, being stopped oh so close, but oh so far away. How did y'all let that happen?
Oh, that's typical Arizona. That's the only way we can lose. We're the school that loses by 1 yard. We're the school that loses the College World Series to Coastal Carolina. We're the school that makes it to the Elite Eight with NBA players only get it smacked around twice by Sam Decker and freaking Kaminsky. That's who we are. And I've grown to accept it. There's nothing I can do about it, because I could be the fan from Major League 2 and just disown my team and just go there as like a hater. But as soon as they actually come around and do something, I'm going to be right back into my red and blue and go and sing Bear Down, even though I never liked that fight song to begin with.
You saw Major League 2?
Once upon a time.
You actually own seeing that movie?
I mean, wow. I've seen a lot of sequels. You can't just hate that by default. You at least see it for yourself. But let's take someone else's word for it that it was bad.
There are movies that come out where after watching the previews, the previews for Major League 2 was so bad, I didn't want to see the previews anymore.
Oh, I was far too young. I don't think I was even alive when the previews came out. I just happened to come upon it when I was flipping through channels one time. And I was like, all right, I'll see it to the end.
You're a better man than me. Tell everyone how they can get a hold of you.
Catch all my stuff on my practice reports and Dolphin Maven, my Mono's articles and Kane's articles on Five Reasons Network, FiveReasonsSports.com. Catch me on the Sports Cave. I got some interviews that have popped up on thesportscave.com that I call the QB Cowboy Podcast. They might be nobody's now, but in a couple of years, they might be the left fielder of your very own Arizona Diamondback. So who knows who I talk to? You might like it eventually.
Sounds good, man. Hey, I appreciate you and all you do.
Yeah, I'll see you in a couple of weeks. I'm coming to your town soon.
All right, bud. Yes, sir. We're going to paint the town aqua.
A little orange in there.
Yeah.
I'll have Sparky thrown up to you in no time.
Hey, Forkham, tomorrow night I will be there. We take on that nationally powerhouse Kent State.
Hey, you better beat some flashes, or else I'm going to laugh at you for eternity.
Yeah, you. Yeah, I know. I'm up here talking crap, and we lose it on the Kent State. I'll never live that down. All right, bro. I will catch up with you.
All righty.
All right, thanks, son. That's the one, only Tony Capobianco, the Cuban cowboy. It's always good to catch up with my man. He's such a good dude. At Sports Cane on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Cavens with the K, at sportscave.com, that's the website, Cavens with the K. PLR on Sports on the Twitter, that's where you can get me. Apologize for the BB until they've got a flash for the assignment. Thanks for all those who called in on the Kelly Lackey long line. You also can check us out again. You can wait a few minutes for the replay, or you can go to KS comments and check me out and check out a lot of us. Until tomorrow, it's been KKPLR. This is KKPLR. Are you ready?